Hi, we are continuing our deep dive into Parshat Bereshit using Medrash Rabbah. This one is entitled, Why Does God Ask Questions He Knows the Answer To? The Midrash is commenting on the answer to the question that God asked Adam. God asked him, Did you eat from the tree which I told you not to eat from? And Adam's response was, it was that woman that you gave me. It was her fault. So the Midrash says something quite strong language. It says that God tested the metal of four people and found it to be very weak. Except that's not the words that the Midrash used. The Midrash actually used the words, God tapped on a jug to see what it was made of. And in all four instances, it was filled with urine. Not nice words, talking about just how much of a lack of integrity came with that answer from Adam of, instead of being grateful for the wife that he got, instead of admitting any fault, he blamed it all on his wife. So you have to understand these four instances. And there are Adam, Cain, Bilam, and King Chizkiyahu. These four instances have the potential to be perhaps life-changing if the right answers were given. Imagine if Adam had said to God, my wife and I feel terribly embarrassed. We broke the one commandment you gave us. Please forgive us. Something of that sort. Who knows what would have happened to mankind? Would we have gotten the same punishments that we have to work with the sweat of our brow, and women would have child, pains, child rearing pains, and all the other consequences? Who knows what would happen? It was an opportunity. God wasn't asking a question because God wanted information. That's not possible. God is omniscient. God knows all the information. There's nothing man is going to tell God that God doesn't know. But God was asking the question to test your mettle, to test your integrity, and there's where Adam fell very short. In the next case, it's a famous Cain when God asks, where's your brother? And he gives the famous answer, I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? Again, dodging the question and missed opportunity, even though God tried to use therapy, as I discussed in another one of these segments on Medrash Tanhuma. God tried to help Cain deal with all his issues and get over his anger, but didn't work. And now when it comes time to fess up, he couldn't do it. The third case is Bilam. Bilam was the greatest prophet in the non-Jewish world. Imagine the potential he had, right? He had this delegation come and God asked, who are these people? Come to visit you. And of course, God knew exactly who these people were. But Bilam, according to Medrash Tanhuma, actually thought to himself, maybe God has limitations in what God knows. And so maybe I could put one over on God. So that was his take to the question. Imagine if instead Bilam realized the fault of what he was trying to do, to curse the Jewish people, to be a cursor for hire. And if he instead said, I'm going to try to raise the moral level of these nations, Moab and Ammon, and the whole world. Imagine if he stepped up to his role as the greatest prophet that the non-Jewish world was given. But alas, it wasn't happening. The last example, which is very sad, is King Chizkiyahu. Sad because King Chizkiyahu was an amazing king. He could have been, according to the Talmud, he could have been the Mashiach. He could have been the Messiah. Interestingly, there was a tremendous miracle when Ashur surrounded Jerusalem and was going to attack, and all the troops died miraculously overnight. And it was expected that the reaction of Chizkiyahu would be to sing Shira, to spontaneously sing the praises of God, but he did not. And that was the reason, according to Talmud, that he wasn't made the Mashiach, but he was that great that he could have been. The incident we're talking about in the Medrash is something else. Actually, he was on his deathbed, and he refused to give up, and he said to God that he would repent and get married, and he did have a miraculous recovery. It was so miraculous that the sun even went in the reverse direction for a while, and this was felt all over the world, and the prince of Babylonia took note of it and wrote a letter and sent it with a gift, and sent it with a delegation, because they didn't have drones yet. He sent it to Jerusalem to congratulate Chizkiyahu on his recovery from near-death illness. And this was all about recognizing the miracle that God did, but Chizkiyahu blew this opportunity. He was so flattered that this delegation came that instead he showed them all the vessels in the Beit HaMikdash to try to show off, you know, how great he was. He could have said to them, he could have given them a moral lesson on who is the real God in the world and the miracle of recovering from a near-death experience. But again, he didn't. He missed that opportunity. So when he was asked by the prophet, who are these people, where are they from, what do they want, he didn't. He should have realized, oh, he's asking me, what did I do with this opportunity? And he could have admitted, oh, I'm sorry, I should be using this opportunity to make a moral lesson to the world. But he didn't get the hint. And again, it was a question not for information. And if you contrast this with the great example of moral courage that was exhibited by Yehuda. If you remember, Yehuda, after his brother was sold, he sort of left the family for a while, he got married, had two children, they died, he had a third child, and he went, and the wife of his first child, he told her, wait here until the third son grows up, and then you'll marry him. But he had no intention, because he thought, you know, I'm not going to let my son marry this woman after two of my other sons died. So she wanted very much to be part of Jewish destiny, to play a role in Jewish history. And so she dressed up as a prostitute. We're talking about, obviously, Tamar. And he had relations with her. She took as payment his staff and his signet ring. And then she got pregnant and she was being taken out to be killed. And she did not embarrass Yehuda or tell anybody who was the one who got her pregnant. She just handed him back the signet ring and his stick and said, this is the person who did it. And he could have, and she was going to go to her grave holding his secret intact. But he instead declared in front of everybody, Tzadka Mimeni, she was more righteous than I. I never intended to give her my third son. And she, for very righteous reasons, wanted to be part of this family, and that's why she did what she did. It's all my fault. I was the one that, I'm the father of this child. So that is an example, really. The Medrash doesn't bring this, but this is a foil to the four cases that I mentioned. I just want to end with a thought that perhaps, you know, the Gemara says that there are six questions that we're going to be asked when we go up to heaven, that each Jew is asked. They are nasata v'nasati be'emunah. You know, did you do business honestly? Kva'itim haTorah. Did you schedule time for studying Torah? Sakta v'per b'yuvia. Did you get married and have children? Tzapita l'shua. Did you actually wait anxiously for the Mashiach to come? Did you have that awareness? And the last ones have to do with delving into the Torah and knowledge. Did you try to, you know, really dig in deep and try to understand and increase your understanding? So I had a thought based on this Medrash. perhaps these answers are very much like the four, I'm sorry, these four questions, these six questions are very much like the questions that were asked of these four people. They're not questions for information. God already knows the answer. When your soul goes up, God already knows the answers to these questions. Perhaps it's a test to see if we have integrity and we'll answer the questions honestly. If someone was, God forbid, not honest in business, you shouldn't try to fudge it there. He should say, you know, I failed. I had a moral failing in this area. I feel terrible. I'm embarrassed. I beg forgiveness. Don't try to fudge it like these four people did. It's not a question of, it's a question that's testing your mettle and not your memory. Good Shabbos.